special edition of My Money, My Lifestyle with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Where we focus on life insurance. We'll be speaking to experts from Liberty to try and understand how exactly life insurance works. Right, so today we're going to be talking about jargon busting, Mapalo. All those terms when it comes to life insurance that makes our heads explode. You know, we know life insurance.
Yes.
You die and you get paid out.
Mm-hmm. Well, but your family gets paid out.
Your family gets paid out. But then there's all these other products that go with
yes.
it. It's disability, and then it's lump sum, income protected, dread disease, critical illness.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but how do your clients like navigate this stuff? Do they just sit there like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, normally they end up saying, you know what? Especially if I'm looking at what they currently have, they kind of like, okay, tell me what's the best thing, but never really fully grasping what all those things mean. So it does get a bit complicated, Maya.
And you know, you're a good person. You're going to make sure the person gets the right things, but you know, you don't want to just walk into a meeting with an advisor and not actually have a clue.
Yes,
so it's really important
yes,
that you listen
absolutely.
To this podcast. Because
you need to equip yourself with the knowledge.
Exactly.
So that when you do sit down with them, you know exactly what ever is for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I thought we would do is we would bring in an expert
yes.
to help us understand this. And who we have is Chrysantha Pile, and she's head of product at Liberty Lifestyle Protector. Welcome onto our podcast.
Thank you, Maya. Happy to be here.
So I hope you're going to, by the end of this, like make us all feel a little bit more confident about these conversations around life care. So I actually wanted to kick off with the difference between things like having income protection, disability lump sum,
mm-hmm.
disability income payments,
Dread disease,
critical illness. Like, where do these, what do these all mean? When do they pay out? What should I have? I don't know where you want to start.
Okay, that's a lot to go through, but let me try. So insurance, as you realize, is more than just life cover. It's important to sit with your financial advisor and assess your holistic risk needs and then decide what benefits are suitable for you. Sure, life cover is critical if you have financial dependence, and if you're no longer around, you want to ensure that they have financial stability. But people are living, and they are living longer and surviving critical illnesses and disability.
Mm.
So we really need more than just life cover to equip people out there that do contact a disability or a critical illness to ensure that they can survive well.
And what are you finding, I mean, you know, in terms of claims, what is really the cover that people are most claiming for?
Mm, that's interesting.
Yeah, so cancers are quite common for ladies of a certain age. It's the breast cancer. There's a lot of detail that we are going to share in the coming weeks in our claim stats. So it's important you take out things like your living lifestyle, which caters for your critical illnesses. Disability cover, as you've asked before, it's different events. It caters for different risk events. Disability, as the name suggests, covers you for the risk of you becoming disabled and you are no longer able to work. That's really critical because with most of us, we cannot live without our salary, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's our biggest mm-hmm. asset. One day, if you are unable to earn it, what do you do? And that's when your disability cover kicks in. It basically replaces your income. So basically what we are talking about here is living benefits and benefits when you are alive. So for example, your temporary disability really caters for those events where there's a possibility of you recovering from your disability. So we have income protection, which caters for your temporary or your permanent disability.
So would those be then separate policies? See, I get confused. So
yes.
If I have an income protection, what would I claim for there? And then if I had temporary disability, is that the same thing? What would I claim for
and
there?
What is capital disability?
Yeah.
I get confused there.
So, yes. So income protection is really about protecting your income should you be unable to work. That's the
And that
the
could be for anything.
That could be for anything.
Back problem, mental problem, mental health.
Yes. You could break your arm. It could be covered if you're away from work. So that's, you get temporary disability, there's a probability of you actually recovering, or you get permanent disability is actually where you are things that you cannot recover from. So if you had to amputate your leg, for example, that's a permanent disability. So further to the disability, we have lump sum payments and income payments. So income payments are nicely aligned to your salary. Your lump sum payments cater for the more permanent disabilities where you may need to make lifestyle adjustments.
Yes.
You may need to put in rails to assist you walking up your stairs. So lump sum is catered for more your permanent disability, and your income disability caters for both permanent and temporary disability.
Okay, so what would that policy be called? Would it be called income protection, or would it be called temporary disability, or is that kind of the same thing?
So it's called your income protection. You would get your temporary and your permanent disability within that
product. Oh, so
product,
it would be part of the product.
Benefit. And you get your lump sum disability benefits, which are separate and only cover your permanent disability.
Okay. So yeah. one of them is all kind of housed in the income side, and then there's this one that would actually just pay out a lump sum.
Mm.
So that could be used, like you said, for lifestyle, or even just perhaps settle your mortgage or something.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is important. Or pay your kids' school fees in advance. Make adjustments to your house, because, I mean, when you're disabled now, you need to fix the house around. Even the car that you buy now.
Mm.
So
mm.
it really impacts on your overall lifestyle, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
And then separate from that, so you've got now, you would have your critical illness or death. What dread disease is the other
dread disease? Yeah.
Dread disease.
What is the difference between critical illness and dread disease?
So,
or is it the same
thing? So it's actually the same thing.
Okay. All right. They are used interchangeably in the market.
So,
okay.
So really that's all about lifestyle protection, right? If you contact a critical illness or you suffer from a traumatic event, how do you recuperate from it?
Would this be your cancers?
Cancers, heart attacks.
Heart attacks, strokes,
exactly.
That sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay, so things that will let me in the hospital and I need to recover over a period of time.
Yes, so it's quite important to have critical illness as well as disability, because a critical illness does not necessarily mean you'll become disabled and not be at work. So, for example, like a skin cancer, you're still able to go to work. So it's important that you have benefits that cover critical illness as well as disability.
So that's such an interesting point, because my advisor told me that, because I work for myself. So income protection is really important for me. But he said, you know, I've got a one-month waiting period on my income protection. So he said a lot of cancer claims when he's got clients, they never actually are off work for a month. It's maybe 2 weeks for chemo, or they're in and out. Or even in my case, I would be just working at half the energy levels, perhaps as a freelancer, you don't have the energy. So he said that's where the critical illness is so critical. So he said for self-employed people, that critical illness, especially in this increase that we're seeing around those claims.
So yes and no. Mm-hmm. We have a wide range of waiting periods for your income disability. So we range from a 7-day backdated waiting period up to 12 months, say. So for someone that is self-employed, you just need to take a shorter waiting period.
But it becomes more expensive.
It does become
more
expensive.
You're saying just. Mabel and I are like, we know the premiums we pay. It's not about just.
Well, isn't it worth the peace of mind?
Well, I suppose one of the strategies is to have an emergency fund.
To cover at least that 1 month waiting period, so that when it does kick in, I think that would make more sense.
The problem I think we have as self-employed people is often your work output drops, and we get paid for the work we do. It's not like we get a salary.
Yes.
So, you know, guaranteed by employer, even if we're sitting behind our desk, sitting staring into space, we actually have to produce something to get paid. Which actually brings me to a question. I think Mabel and I raised this, we were having a conversation about this the other day, and that is that do you need income protection if you're employed and your employer has often a lot of these covers?
So it really does depend on the benefits that you do get from your employer. You need to consider that when looking at the need. So in some instances, your employer might pay a short benefit. So let's say they pay you for the next 3 months that you're disabled.
Mm.
But what if your disability lasts longer than that? You will need a top-up.
So perhaps you could have a 3 month waiting period for personal one.
That's clever. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
All right. That
makes
sense.
Because of course, the longer your waiting period, the lower the premium.
There we go. Okay.
And that's an interesting one as well. Because what if you left your employer and your new employer or your self-employed, because you've got the product in place already, all you do is have to adjust the waiting period.
Yeah, you could. But
would you be underwritten again?
It depends. If you change your occupation and if it's completely a different risk profile, there may be a change in premium.
Occupation. Mapulo, you've got a question on that.
Yes. So I've heard of a case where a doctor had income protector, right? But they couldn't get the full salary. You know, I think it gives you up to a maximum of your salary, but he couldn't get the full one. So I think there was something about own occupation and general one. I don't know. What's the story there?
So if you're insured for own occupation.
Own occupation.
Okay. So yeah, so there's different definitions. So if you're insured for your own occupation, your disability or your claims is assessed according to whether you can do your occupation or
so
not.
So sort of a specialist type of...
Yeah, yeah. But if the other definition we have is own or similar occupation.
Yeah, own and similar can also be so...
So own or similar, if you are disabled in your occupation, but you can then be a professor, then you're not actually disabled and you can continue receiving your income.
But that was the issue, that they wanted to receive the amount that they had been used to.
So if he went and worked as a professor, he wouldn't earn what a surgeon earned. Or a surgeon could be a GP, but not going to earn what a surgeon earns. So you need to really get advice around
that. So it's important the definition that you select.
Mm. Yeah. But that one obviously is more expensive.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes.
It always comes down to price, isn't it? Because I always think with me as well, there's probably very little. I mean, if I was in a wheelchair, I could probably still do quite a large portion of my job.
I mean,
so you wonder at what point you would be considered disabled.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question. So what I also wanted to ask you is about premium patterns, because that's another whole confusing set of jargon. You get a whole lot of different ways that your premiums can be calculated. So maybe you just want to explain that to our listeners.
Yeah, sure. So there's various premium patterns to suit your needs. So the easiest is the level premium pattern, and that's really suitable for families that want a long-term cover and stable premium. So if I'm paying 100 Rand in the first year, I'm going to be paying 100 Rand 10 years down the line. So fixed premiums, you know exactly what you're going to be paying. Next up is your fixed increasing premium. So this is really for individuals that prefer a lower initial premium, and it increases at a fixed rate every year. So if it's a 5% fixed increasing premium, I'll pay 100 Rand this year, I'll pay 105 Rand next year, and so on.
But why would you select that? What would be the benefit?
So a fixed increasing premium is actually slightly lower than initial premium than your level premium.
But you know that the increases are fixed.
The increases are fixed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
going to go
up. It's not going to be up by 20%
no.
1 year.
No.
Okay.
Then you get the age-rated premium pattern, which is actually the most complicated. It is also the cheapest starting premium.
Yes.
See, this is the thing that everybody gets
that.
Sold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know
exactly.
What? If I'm
not
trying
sold
to,
okay, Maya.
Yeah. Okay. So okay, people, listen, this is sometimes cheap is expensive.
Yes, in the long run.
Yeah. Krisintha's going to explain now why it's really expensive.
So ideally, it's the cheapest at the start, but it does become expensive in the future. And these premiums are really based on the age of the person. And as we all know, as you get older, your risk of claiming increases.
Mm-hmm.
So that's taken into account every year, and your premium increases according to your risk.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important, I think, when somebody brings you, especially with quote comparisons,
yes.
That's where
yes.
You've really
yes.
got to ask, is this, what, fixed premium? Is it fixed with a, what, increasing with a fixed?
It's
go through them again.
so you get a level premium, which
yeah.
is just constant.
Yeah.
You get a fixed increasing premium, which is really just a fixed increase every year, and then you get an age-rated premium, which increases
okay.
as
so you need to know which
yeah.
one you're actually
yeah.
signing up for
yeah.
to make apples and apples and
yes.
all the rest of it.
I think, you know, Maya, for me, it's just that human psychology that you want to look at the final amount that will be going off your bank account.
Mm.
How you get there and what the implications are later, we completely disregard that as human beings most of the time. But I've also learned that maybe, yeah, go back and to look at how much it's going to cost me 10 years later, you know?
And
yes.
I think, yeah, and I think also look at what you're getting for the cover. So maybe to end off, which would be quite nice, is to say things like, especially, I suppose, when it comes to your critical illness / dread disease, you know, when you're looking at quotes, what would you say are the kind of red flags you must look for to make sure you're making the right comparisons?
Mm. I think it's important when selecting cover that it suits my needs. I have a young family, for example. So if my husband and I had to pass away, I want to ensure that my kids' education, for example, is taken care of, our medical bills are paid for. And at Liberty, we do have benefits that cater for people's needs. And it's imperative that you have to sit with your financial advisor and go through the complexities. As you see, it can be quite confusing.
Yes.
It's not a decision you can make on your own.
Mm. Yeah.
And things like, you know, how much, what illnesses are covered. So yes. I know some insurers, especially the bank insurance products, have really low, or they just cover heart attacks, cancer. They're four or five items, whereas some of the more expensive, more in-depth products will cover a lot more. So perhaps if you have a genetic illness, a family genetic, you know, something runs through your genes, you may want to make sure that that's covered. I mean, I don't know how one looks at it from that perspective.
Yeah, so I guess you're speaking about breadth of cover, which is important, but even in the basic critical illness benefits, they say they cover the top five main causes, which is great. The add-ons that you get, and this can expand to quite a long list, there often is a lower probability of it occurring. So it all depends from an affordability perspective on your preferences. Mm. Yeah.
But also, I think it's very important because there are so many illnesses that are coming up and... So I would want something that could possibly encompass everything, you know, because you never know if you just have the top five and you get the one at the bottom.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to do that to myself.
But I suppose as a starting point, if affordability is an issue,
yes,
which let's be honest, it's the first thing that most people look at,
look
like cutting. Their surveys show they'll cut their life cover before their DSTV.
Yes, yes.
At least make sure the top five are covered, because those claim stats, I mean,
we're
waiting for those stats, but I know every year when Liberty brings them out, those cancer stats increase and the heart attacks.
Yeah, and it's no different this year.
Well, great. Thank you very much. I mean, hopefully we've managed
to.
Mapra, do you feel like a little bit... I'm sort of getting this a little bit better. I'm understanding this income versus lump sum a bit better.
It's
all these different names, but, you know, where that fits into your policy or into your plan.
I think I have a better idea, more clarity now. Income protector, sort of short-term, monthly one type of thing.
But that's also disability income. It falls under that same name almost.
Yes,
yeah.
But just make sure we have all of them if you can afford it. I don't know. I think I'm more conservative, and I just always want to make sure that I'm covered.
Yes, you're on the opposite spectrum of many people. Great. I think it's a wrap for today.
Thank you.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.